Hello and welcome to The Money Men. My name's Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. How was the week, Benny? You got a new hoodie?
Yeah. I had to scrape together an outfit today. I couldn't get into my room with the little one having a sleep, so this is what I ended up with.
Yeah, just like the Cranky Bear trying to get through, I'd reckon. That's a good book, The Cranky Bear. Anyway, shout out to Jimmy. You love that book. Let's get to Morpheville. How do you think the track played?
I thought the track was really good. We talked about it on Insider Trade, and it is one of the better betting tracks in Australia for mine. I think it, you know, with that long straight, the horses get their chance. They were coming wide. There were even horses ducking back to the inside, but probably inside two lanes they left alone a little bit at times. But you couldn't really make excuses for any horses based on the track.
Time sent through by Vince Arcardi, so thanks for that from Daily Sectionals. Genuine soft 5/6, wasn't it? There was no, I think they were bang on in terms of their track ratings. It seems to be the way they have run the times. That seems to be exactly where it was. No real difference between shoot races and circle races. They seem to be the same all throughout. Let's get into race one. Half a second inside standard time. Pretty even tempo here. 24.36 last 400. 12.44 last 200. Not ideal compared to the rest of the day. Worth noting here, the first 1,400 metres, 1 second slower than the In Good Health race, which is race six, which we'll get to, but they went out pretty quick there. No margins here. This was an interesting one because Laundy was heavily supported, $2.45 into $2.20. We were both on, and at the turn, I think we're probably both giggling, saying this is the winner. It just didn't seem to accelerate at all. Canford, $4.20 out to $4.60, wins the race, and Manzala, $7.50 out to $8, runs second. This is not a race I'm too keen on going forward, but I want to get your thoughts on Laundy because I know after the race, probably scathing. Have you settled down a little bit?
I went looking for excuses because it couldn't possibly be my fault that I chose the wrong horse, but I went looking for the camp and I'm like, Busted and Young. What? And looked at their recent stats to go on at 19% this month, so I can't blame them. What I can blame them with is it is impossible to know when their horses are going to peak. This horse looked like it had a platform to peak. Maybe it's one run away. I'm not sure. You suggested that to me via the telephone on Saturday, but
I was just trying to.
It was disappointing, no doubt.
Yeah, it was disappointing from the market expectation. And we speak about this a little bit. That second go 2,000 metres in a prep, which you'll now have. So it had the third up, or was it 2,000 metres off a 1,600 metre run or a 1,700 metre run? Now it gets its second go 2,000. Look, I am making excuses for it, but fourth up, 2,000 metres next start. If it's not performing, it's forever gone,
it does
get its chance.
Doesn't perform. Canford was 2,500 metre runs back to 2,000 metres. Not an ideal prep, but they ran it a good enough clip that it could come over the top. That was its ninth run in this campaign. Look, it's racing well, but there's got to be a limit to how far it can go in a campaign. But Manzala went all right. It was only its second run back. Maybe it's got to win in a similar grade in the next few weeks because you'd think once the carnival disperses, it's going to be a lesser class of horse.
And this is worth noting for the punters out there. When this carnival disperses, it disperses. We end up with real restricted racing, 62s, 60s. I think we've even got maidens on the Saturdays as well. So it really does fall away with obviously the carnival heading to Brisbane. Race two, this was 1.25 seconds inside standard time. This is a good tempo, but I love what they've come home here. 23.38, 11.96, which is really good compared to the rest of the day. Karakazoo hit the front here in the blue and white. This is just a race I want to follow. It is only two-year-olds, or especially the winner here, Heresy, which is only having its second race start. Now, there's a bit in this, and I want to go through. $4.40 out to $7.50 on debut, Heresy. So the market was suggesting that it was there for educational purposes. And then on Saturday, $5.50 into $4.40. So what's that suggesting is, okay, I think this is what the punters need to understand going forward. When a horse is a big drifter on debut and then the next start they want to back it, it's go time. And it was go time for this horse. And I reckon it's going to win a really good race as a three-year-old.
Yeah, because going into this race, I thought it lacked a little bit of quality. There weren't any horses jumping out of maidens, off high-rating maidens, that I thought, oh, that they can go to the next level. But then you look at the times they ran in this race, it needs to be a race to follow. They've made sure that you have to follow this race by the time they ran. The second horse, obviously, a good effort, caught wide. The shoot races probably wasn't too much of a disadvantage being caught wide.
No.
It probably made me maybe add half a length to its performance. But, yeah, you're right. This race went really well, and Heresy is going to be a horse that I think visually he's going to get 1,400 to 1,600 metres and yeah, that opens up a lot of options.
Yeah, visually I think you're right. And when I looked at it and then I went, okay, I'm going to look at the breeding, Street Boss. And then I looked at the Street Bosses and, you know, you've got horses like Hanseatic and there's a few other sprinters there that maybe this is a 1,200 metre horse, but it has got a really good race in it.
You're not a breeding buff.
Absolutely.
At all. Leave it to
no
the professionals.
I know. And I'm definitely out of my lane there with that. So I'm looking forward to getting whacked for that, among other things. Magic Max, I want to touch on this horse. $16 into eight, runs third. There's a punting tip for the punters out there. This is a little bit left field, but find a Murray Bridge maiden race. It was won by a horse called Run Amigo. Find it and just back the horses out of it. It is rated sensationally. Run Amigo hasn't ran since, and the second horse hasn't ran, and I don't think the third or fourth horse has ran. A horse that ran seventh in this race, Run Amigo race, was backed off the map yesterday at Gawler. It did run second. It didn't win, but the market's trending towards it. Follow it. You're going to get...
So back him in any race, whether it be Group 1 or...
Yeah, you don't back them blindly, obviously not. But I think I'd be looking at mate. You're going to be able to find maiden horses. Well okay. Done there. Good play. The Run Amigo is a nice horse. Not many group ones that maidens can get into, but maybe a derby or something. Good luck with that. Race 3, half a second inside standard time. We've got to get moving here. 23.54, 12.16. Okay, last 400, 200. This is sick. Absolutely sick if you're on the lead of Maddox. I still think it's one, but anyway, we'll... The photo is the photo. Thanks for Ollie coming in earlier to tell me that the pixels are actually not even really true. So thanks for that, producer out the back. That really helps. It's going to make me sleep well tonight. Anyway, it was $3.80 out to $4.60. Run second. I thought it was a good effort. And Trivgi on the quick 7-day back up wins $9.50 out to $12. Don't know much what else to really say about the race.
It's a forgettable race, I think. Maddox was the horse with a little bit of scope for improvement. That's why it had that early market support. It obviously got on the drift a little bit late. That was it was a reasonable effort, and I did think it had held on. It looked like a set play going to the Carnival to try and get a city win on board. Larimer Street was a horse of interest. It was new camp, coming off a good trial. Jamie Carr going on board, got caught wide, but it still faded pretty quickly. Getting caught wide over 1,000 metres, it's not always the worst thing to happen. I don't know if it's much for a horse, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because it's one that I marked a lot bigger, and I think if Jamie Carr's – that's just what Jamie Carr is doing to the market at the moment. I think she's keeping a lot of these horses pinned right in terms of their market price. Just want to touch on Zarasi. It was a race, $9 into $5.50. It was on the 7-day backup as well. But you spoke about a little bit this last week, and obviously on Insider Trading a lot, it was the positive jock D-Lane going on in the saddle. No disrespect to who's been riding in the past, but world-class jockey goes on, market trends towards him.
We should acknowledge the winner, Trivgay, yeah, as well. Two wins in the last week. Alana Kelly rode it really well for a 3-kilo apprentice.
Yep.
They don't normally come off. Apprentices are better at riding on-pace horses. Normally to come off the speed on this horse and win, that was a good effort.
Yep, no, they've done really well with that horse. Race 4. Very slowly run. First 600 was 3/4 of a second slower than race 2, which we've been to, and obviously around a bit further than that for the Goodwood as well. So they've zipped home 23.12.11.80. Best of the day, as you can see, highlighted by yellow, and they deserve to. And Brooklyn Hustle, well, finally gets its win. But we, again, this is another thing we bang on about, is these slowly run races find the horse with the best turn of foot. It doesn't matter if they're a back marker in this situation, because instead of being 8 lengths off them, the string is so much more compressed. They're only 2 or 3 lengths off them, and they're going to gobble them up. And she did that. She was very impressive. And market knew heavily with her. $3.10 into $2.40. Rubisaki conversely drifted $2.50 out to $2.90. And I thought she was really playing.
You talk about that slow tempo theory. I think the general consensus amongst punters is that back markers need a hot tempo for them to come over the top, which obviously isn't the case. And Brooklyn Hustle is a classic example of this. She doesn't appreciate those hot tempos at all. And she's not going to win a big Group 1. You know, they keep aiming for Group 1s, but they always run a good tempos, these Group 1 sprint races. And, you know, she found the right race here, and I can't see her. She's going to Queensland now to contest the Group 1s. I can't see her winning any of them.
She goes to the Tats Tiara, which will be against just her own sex. She's not hopeless in it.
1400 meters.
Yeah, that's a concern. That's a concern. Because I think 1200 really is, I would have thought from just a form sort of situation that that was probably the end of her. I love her at 1000, 1100, especially fresh, but she did a good job on that.
I just don't know where they're going to be able to place her to win her group one, because, you know, she probably does have group one ability at her best, but I just find it hard to see what race she's going to actually win. Just quickly on Ruby Saki, what'd you make of her?
Disappointing. Plain disappointing. Probably sucked us in with her third in the Sangster, where she was really good. She was the first one gone in a slowly run race, so maybe there's something wrong there, but there's clearly you can't be backing her off that next start. Race 5, half a second inside standard time here, 25.60, 12.90. So the worst last 400, 200 of the day in the SA Classic, Fillies Classic. And you've got a horse here called Mimi's Award, who had won a pack and a maiden. We spoke about this on Insider Trading. This is a race where you can do this. Won a pack and a maiden at $1.24. Then it went to a Wangaratta 58 and now comes out and wins a Group 3. But this is the kind of race that can happen. Realm of Flowers won it last year off a 60, and the year before a horse won it coming out of a 64. You don't have to always have that progression from the Oaks, and she was really good.
How many horses would you want to follow out of this race?
Well, to be honest, zero.
I think it's only winner.
Yeah.
Because of the interference she struck at the 400. She got pretty hampered at the turn when she was making her run. I think that adds merit to a win, but the times are terrible.
The times are worry. If they were 1.5 seconds inside standard time and came home that, 12.99, I'd stick up for her. But she's only half a second inside standard time and 25.6 last 400 worries me.
I think she's the only one with a bit of scope.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very worried about the rest of them.
Yeah, Flexible just seems to be that herd horse that ran fourth, fifth in the Oaks, looked unlucky, but then was just doing the same sort of thing on Saturday. I thought market $5.50 into $4.20 for the winner. Flexible $3 into $2.70. Lanacord, the New Zealander, well, she ran pretty well. She was $8 into $6.50. And Biachi, well, we identified Jamie Carr going in the saddle with the market on Insider Trading, 71 into 27 runs third at a big price. But yeah, I'm a bit worried about the race going forward. We'll be back after the break. There's a few races that we're not so worried about, including the Goodwood. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Goodwood Handicap Day at Morpheville. Definitely racing on a soft five, soft six through the times we got from Vince Arcardi Daily Sectionals put into our database. All right, let's crack into race six here, Benny. Half a second inside standard time. 24.90, 12.72 last 400, 200. So a little bit soft compared to the rest of the day, but they did go out pretty hard. And the horse that did go out hard was the eventual winner in Good Health. It probably overraced for him a little bit, to be honest. Really got a hold of him, but it didn't really matter because it absolutely smacked the rest of the field. Now, the blinkers went on first time. We spoke about this on Insider Trading that we're a little bit worried about its performance the start prior. But it was off 7 weeks. When we go back, and it's great, hindsight is a wonderful thing. You've got to learn about what's sort of happening with the marketplace and obviously with horses' performance. It was off 7 weeks. Peter Moody's a very good trainer. He puts the blinkers on, goes up in distance. Ollie goes on, and it goes through the roof.
The gap between runs is the key, and we'll talk about it in the next race as well. It's very hard for a horse to produce a peak rating off that sort of break. It might normally indicates they're not fit enough, or they've come off a little setback as well. They normally produce at their next run, which in Good Health obviously did here. Was very well suited at the set weights and penalties.
Yep.
If it was a handicap, would have been given at least 10.5 kilos to each horse. Obviously the class runner. That same scenario paid off with Cherry Tortoni last week, and it was really well placed. But it doesn't always. But I think, as a good rule, if you're taking odds of $4 or something about these horses, it is generally a good bet when they're that well in at the weights.
$4 into $3.80. $3.80 just out to $4.20 on race day. Shop Till I Drop, $3.70 out to $4.80. So it was the other one that was sort of probably the favourite early doors. And then obviously it came out of the same race as In Good Health, came up on the inside and was probably unlucky that day. And Zaydani was the one that market really trended towards, $10 into $9, $9 into $5.50. It finishes third. Doesn't have a lot of luck, but it wouldn't have mattered. The winner was far too good. What do you take out of the race?
Well, the market didn't want to be with that lead-up race that they were
Correct.
Coming out of. They were specking horses right around it. So that was I thought that was interesting. In Good Health is the only horse you could possibly follow out of this. But then again, where is it going? I'm not sure. It didn't run great sections late. You look at a horse winning by 4 or 5 lengths. We talked about it just before we came on air. It didn't rate that well. Visually, it looks like it's absolutely romped in, but it's not a race I want to follow.
Yeah, I mean, did throttle it down the last 100, so maybe you can add a little bit there. But you're right, that 24.90 the last 400 is slightly worrying. Now, I think a lot of people would go, well, that's the horse I want to follow out of the whole day. Like, how good was it? To the eye, sensational. Time just hasn't backed that up. But Pete Moody might take it up, obviously, to Brisbane. I think it's only like third up or fourth up now, so it's probably got some runs in it, and it was very good at 2,000 metres. So, and having that run with the blinkers, it'll probably settle a little bit better next start with them.
Yeah, and as a go-forward horse, that's always going to be an advantage, and you know, it's proven it can run 2,000 metres, so that opens up some doors as well.
Yeah. Race 7, half a second inside standard time, so good tempo again here. 24.52 last 400, 12.60 last 200. Look, it was an interesting race because Dr. Drill second up took off, and as you can see, he looked the winner. And then you've got a wall chasing, really. They were coming from everywhere. But Lord Vladivostok, we have to talk about this as well, because this was a horse, the start previous, which was off 54 days, was $2 out to $2.80. Market didn't want to be with it at all. It sat outside later and was leader and was plain. But then 2 weeks between runs, you spoke about it on this show after this performance 2 weeks ago and said, this, I think you actually mentioned, this stinks like a setup for 2 weeks' time. You were bang on right there, so well done with that. But that's for the punters out there to understand. As you mentioned, within good health, when they're off these 7 weeks, 8 weeks, don't expect a peak run. But then when 2 weeks straight into it, especially on big carnival days for these kinds of trainers like Michael Hincmont, well done to getting this horse ready to go for when you set it for the grand final.
Oh, I wish I had followed my own advice there. It's hard sometimes when they come off a race where they don't perform to expectations, but, you know, it makes so much sense now having looked at it. It was a prep run. Even the trainer after the race came out and said he wasn't quite there last time. I was with Dr. Drill in this race, and Jamie Carr going on first time, thought she gave it a peach. It's probably got a little bit of gas left in the campaign, given it was only second up. They might, maybe they go to Brisbane. I'm not
sure.
It's sort of a listed sort of group three sort of horse who does get 2,000 metres as well. So that opens up some doors as well. But I wouldn't really want to be following any other horses other than the first two, because they sort of, there was a little bit of a margin to third, and there wasn't really any eye-catching runs back in the field for mine.
Yeah, just from the market. Dr. Drill, 4 out to $4.80. Don't think we'll see that again next start. I think he'll be a horse that will firm up wherever it goes. Vacillator, 3.80. He just held its price around that $3.80, $3.70 runs third. That's its level, though. There's no extra ceiling for it. Magna Bella was the one the market really cottoned on to. $8.50 into $4.80 with that 53 kilos for Craig Williams. It sat wide, but it was still very plain. And Lord Vladivostok, $9.50 out to $10 back into $8.50, suggesting it was going to run a big race. It did. Let's get to the Goodwood. Even tempo here, 3/4 of a second inside standard, 23.24, 12.02, last 400, 200. You can see them across the track all over the place. There was some horses that had some queries that we spoke about earlier with Geetra and obviously Behemoth. They were the quality runners in this race. Sava 2XL with Baron Vorster. It goes up the inside, which a lot of runner or jockeys had discounted and thought that wasn't the best going. He said, no, I'm going to go up there with this horse that's flying. Was exceptional 2 weeks ago winning, knocking off Pandemic that, you know, we were really keen on. Well, backs it right up, repeats the rating, wins a Group 1.
There's plenty to talk about here.
Yes.
We'll just start with the favourites, Geetra and Behemoth. Coming out, they were first up into this race at 1,200 metres. It's very hard to win Group 1s given that setup. They just need – and you look at Sava 2XL was coming off a really good run, had the platform to perform up to – but to run the rating it needed to win the Group 1. Behemoth and Geetra did not have the right setup whatsoever.
No, I agree with that. But here's the thing I think the punters need to understand. So if you look at it from a market perspective, so why was – we're talking about all these queries. We're saying 1,200 metres, it had never been first up 1,200 metres, Geetra was coming off an injury. So all these factors, I'm like, worry, worry, worry. Look what the market did with it. 370 into 320, 320 into $2.70. Now, the punters want to work out, okay, well, why are they backing Geetra when you've got all these questionable things around it? The reason is the number that it was doing, obviously, in a Lightning Stakes first up, the number that it did, I think, in an Everest or in a TJ and all those kinds of things, that just goes into their system and they're like, bang, it's going to do it again. Yes, it's 1,200 metres. Yes, it's first up, but they don't worry about the queries that if you really do the hard edge analysis, it's a very much very different to a robot throwing in a system. That's why those horses go off like that.
I tell you what it bodes well for, the rest of the campaign. The fact it was so solid in the market, didn't have the platform here, ran all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did enough to suggest that it's in for a good campaign. We thought this was going to be its only run this campaign, but the trainer has suggested they might go to Queensland. And
okay,
if they find the right race there.
Is there a right race for it? That's the question.
I'm talking about the Kingsford Smith, which is 1,300 metres at Eagle Farm, which 1,300 metres is probably not its ideal ideal trip, but given that run under its belt, it'll give it a chance to run that trip now. It'll be better set up in that race than it is in this race.
And that's a really good point, because this is a great platform race for it now, I think, coming out of this race, and the fact that it did, going out to the break, win that 1,300 metre high prize money race in Sydney, that yes, it might be a good race for it.
I want your comments on a few horses. Behemoth?
I just don't think it's a 1,200 metre fresh horse. I know it was winning a Durbridge and it was winning. It's a gun 1,400 metre horse. That's the time when I back Behemoth, second, third up into a prep. When you're taking on these good ones at Group 1s, I just don't think it's there.
Savitou XL, we need to treat it as a new horse now, don't we?
Oh,
new
absolutely.
Camp. Well, it's sort of going
Darwin
to new,
there for a while.
Yeah, over 2,000 metres as well. I think they've found the key to this horse. I think they're going to Queensland as well. Can it win another Group 1 up there?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know who you're running against, and that's the key. So I think Eduardo, if was in that race, probably would have touched it up, to be honest, on ratings and things like that. So Instant Celebrity I thought was really good. $7 into $5.50 probably ran up to its performance. Bo Rossa was the huge drifter, $8.50 out to about $28. If they held the race up any further, it was going to be three figures, and it ran accordingly. So hopefully it's pulled up okay, but it looked very scratchy.
Yeah, really disappointing for a horse who had it, I think, has a bit of a potential. Go for a spell now probably, yep. And we'll have to start again with that horse, but it'll be hard to back it first up off that run.
Yeah, I know, but it is going to be furnished into a really nice horse, Bo Ross. So anything else really out of the race that you can see from the beaten grade that you want to be with?
Not for mine. No.
Yep. Okay, let's get to the last race then. A third of a second inside standard time. Going pretty quick. 24.42, 12.56, last 400, 200. First 600 was very similar time out to the Goodwood, so they definitely didn't loaf around. Extreme Thrill wins the race. It was 21 into $18. Chill with TJ runs third, $10 into $5. Jamie Carr back on the inside there with the white hat. Ambi Dazzle was $5.50 into $3.70. It was out the back and then sort of got going late, runs fifth. What do you make of the race? Because these are your perfect example of your restricted horses in Adelaide. You're going to see these again in 2 weeks.
This is for the SA racing purists, this race. But I think the thing about this winner is it was first up. It does get out to a mile. So to win first up over 1,200 metres suggests it's in for a good campaign. Alana Kelly rode it really well, but you get a senior jockey on that in a better race, I think it can keep winning.
All right, very good. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure time. Back with Trash and Treasure. Give me your trash.
First up, horses in Group 1 races. You can probably broaden it and say you need the right platform to win these Group 1s because they're very hard to win. And I just think 1,200 metres in particular is a distance that you need to have a bit of fitness under your belt to be able to run that at a high level, like the Group 1 level.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Ruby Saki, for me, I thought she was really disappointing. I know she was okay in a Sangster, but can't be backing her off that next start, Ruby Saki. Treasure, for me, is going to be Heresy. This has got a really good race in it as a three-year-old. Just love what it did. It looks like the horse is going to continue to progress and maybe a Coolmore, something like that. Look out. You?
Highest rated horses in set weights and penalties races. You're about to really put a stop to this
point. It's good because you've got – you're right with In Good Health.
And Cherry Tortoni last week.
And so Brooklyn Hustle.
They should have been,
and Brooklyn Hustle.
And Brooklyn Hustle. They should have been giving – those first two in particular should have been given 10 kilos.
I get that, but I just – like Realm of Flowers says high. With Persan was the highest rated horse in the Ramsden. I think you have to – narrow your focus a little bit. Right on Saturday for some races.
And right last Saturday as well.
For some races.
I didn't find either of them because I thought they had enough queries over it, but the cream rose to the top.
Yeah,
so
nah, fair enough. Thanks for bringing that to the table. We'll be back next week. We are going to Brisbane. See you then.